friend of mine, Don Miller, wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz, and he talks about a place where they set up these confession booths on their campus, and they just, it wasn't for people to come confess their sins, but it was rather so that people could confess the sins that they had done in the name of God, you know, the ways that we've embarrassed God and the sins of the church throughout history. And he just talks about how magnetic that was on their campus. And
was it a Christian campus then?
No, not at all. Uh-huh. And so that's part of what was so neat about it was that a church that's able to get on its knees and confess the horrible and embarrassing things that we've done in the name of God, I think, is very magnetic to folks in this world.
You know, that line about, what was it, God coming through the cracks? God comes to us through the cracks?
Yeah, St. John of the Cross.
That was St. John of the Cross, wasn't it? You quote that in your book, and you say, goth kids love St. John of the Cross. Is that true? I mean, it's fascinating if it is. Is there anything else you'd want to say or tell me? You know, imagine you're kind of talking about a whole world that is going to be very new to people. People don't even know somebody like you and all the other people around you exist. I mean, is there anything else you'd want to shine a light on, point to?
Well, I would say that one thing that's been so encouraging after writing the book is just having letters come in, you know, and I try to write folks back, and especially people that have said, I knew that there was more to Christianity than just, you know, patriotic pastors and cover-up bishops and all these horrible, you know, things that we've seen. Over and over, folks that are, you know, sexual minorities and people that have really felt themselves completely outside the church. And I am so encouraged by that. And I even had some folks in a mosque that told me that they were reading my book together in a study group.
Really?
I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's exactly some of the, you know, the most encouraging things that I would see. I had a guy on death row that wrote me a letter, and he said, when you talk about the myth of redemptive violence, he said, I am a witness that of another possibility. And he said, because the family of the victim of my crime argued that I not be killed for what I did, that I was not beyond redemption. And he said that gave me a lot of time to think while I was in prison. And he said he became a Christian, and now he's a voice, you know, speaking out. And he said, in the abandoned places of the empire, you know, which for him means behind bars. Mm-hmm. But and of that hope and that restorative justice. And so I think that I'm so encouraged by all of the signs of hope. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is not just be a soloist, but to try to harmonize, you know, with other voices, and not just homogenize, not all like end up the same, but to figure out how we can give visibility to a Christianity that I think reflects who Jesus is. And it's crazy that we've come so far from that, I think, in a lot of ways. But I'm so encouraged by the voices that are out there and the expressions that are out there of our faith. And so I guess the only other thing I would add is that what became clear to me in Iraq is that what's at stake is not just the reputation of America, but the identity of what it means to be Christian. And I heard, you know, Iraqis, even Iraqi Christians, that called leaders in the United States Christian extremists. And I think what's so tragic is people have seen the visibility of Christianity in some of the most horrible ways, you know, from folks that'll blow up an abortion clinic and dance on the doctor's grave, you know, and hold signs that say God hates fags. And this is sick Christianity. And I'm encouraged by so many people that are standing up and refusing to allow that Christianity to reflect who we are, and are saying we're going to give visibility to something a little bit different in this world.